It was Jesus Christ who said to us, "The harvest is ripe, the laborers are few." He also said that when you are filled with his power, you will be his witnesses. And then he said, "You are the light of the world." If there was ever a time that a witness for Christ need to be present, it is now. If there was ever a time we need to have the light in dark places, it is now. If it ever was a time that we need to be laborers in the harvest field, it is now. I am bringing you a series of messages called Seeking the Lost and Mobilizing to Evangelize. God wants to use your voice. He wants to use your personality to reach the people around you. Why don't you pray right now and ask God to just awaken the desire in your heart to be his witness, his light, and his laborer. Well, come and go with us now as we continue to walk in the light of God's word.
Jesus is a savior. We're not. But we can sure seek along with him. Lord, help us to seek, and I'll point him to you so you can save him. So the object of Jesus' activity on the earth was the lost. He's looking for the lost. And I think he's still looking for the lost today. Who are the lost? The lost are those who, in the grand scheme of things, do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. People who don't know Jesus Christ, he said they are lost. Listen, the problem with the lost is that they don't know that they are lost. The problem with the lost is they don't know that they are lost. They're like some people, you know, I'm driving with a friend, and he said he knew where he was going. But after a while, you done passed the same place two or three times in the car. I'm thinking, he's lost. But he don't want to admit that he's lost. So he keeps going. So there are people who are lost, and they don't know they're lost. See, it's okay to know you're lost and don't admit it. But if when you're lost and don't know you're lost, you're lost. And there are people who don't know they're lost until we tell them and we ask them, where are they? And we find out they're lost. Once you find out you're lost, you want to find something that's familiar. You want to try to find something to get you back on track. When we point people to Jesus Christ, when they hear the name, the Holy Spirit can awaken in them the desire to receive Jesus Christ. No one comes to the Father except he is drawn by the Lord. It is the Spirit of God that draws people to himself. It is the Spirit of God that draws people, just begin to stir them on the inside, begin to open up their spiritual understanding, open their blinded eyes, open their deaf ears so they can begin to hear the word of God. God knows how to reach people. He just needs an agent on the earth to engage with them. God set his plan into motion to rescue us by sending Jesus Christ into the earth. Matthew 1:21 said, "You will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sin." He came for the lost. Just say that. He came for the lost. If you are lost, Jesus is looking for you. And you don't have to go far to find him. He put it this way in chapter 5 of Luke, verse 31. "It is not the healthy who needs a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." I've come for the righteous. That's why you can see me hanging out with the sinners, because that's who I came for. I didn't come for the righteous. In fact, he gave more grief to the Pharisee, the righteous people, than anybody, because they were always coming in there messing with him. And he just says, "I ain't got time for you. I came for the sinners." Somebody who recognized that they need some help. Jesus has the power to do more than to seek. He has the power to save. Save means to rescue people from their eternal destination of death, destruction, and hell. "I can save you from that," Jesus says. "I can restore your relationship with God," the relationship that was lost when Adam gave up his relationship with God. Jesus is so interested in saving the lost, he didn't leave the world without setting up a plan to be sure that the lost can be continually saved. You know what his plan was? When he saved you and he saved me, he brought us into his family to fulfill his purpose. Matthew 28:19, "Go into all the world, preaching the gospel, making disciples, baptizing those. That's the plan. The plan was to get us involved, to get us engaged. That was his plan. His plan was not just to save us so we can come to church and have a good time. His plan was to save us so that we can be the church. That's the difference. We can come to church or we can be the church. And we want to be the alive, vibrant church. You are the light of the world, he said to us. And you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. So I want you to join with the purpose of our Lord to seek and to save that which was lost. I want you to join with us. Here's the question. How can you do that? I want to give you three things, maybe four. Pray for the Spirit of God to seek out the lost in our homes, on our jobs, in our neighborhood. Pray for the Spirit of God. God, help us to seek out those who were lost. So when you're in your 3 days of fasting and prayer and say, Lord, help me to recognize what you want to do in the lives of people around me. Secondly, get involved by inviting people to come to know Christ. Just ask them, is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? Just ask them, do you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? And when they say yes, ask them, would Jesus say the same thing about you? What's your relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, I'm saved and I know him. I said, well, what would he say if I'd ask him about you all's relationship? Well, he may say something different. Well, he's the one that's going to be the judge. If he says something different, then you might want to get reaffirmed here. You want to start over. We don't want him to say something different. Thirdly, I want you all to participate with us as we share our faith and reach out to the lost with our various opportunities. Whenever there's an opportunity to reach out, get involved in it. Reach out to your neighbors. We were talking about the National Night Out. Y'all familiar with that? There's a National Night Out. They do it every year. We just don't do anything. That's in your neighborhood so that you can get to know your neighbors better. And the National Night Out, I guess, what we're looking at it today is in October, the first Tuesday in October. And I said, Elder Shepherd, why don't we encourage our members to do something in their own neighborhood on National Night Out? Invite your neighbor. Invite a neighbor over. Get two or three neighbors. Say, we're going to grill some hot dogs in our yard, and we're inviting over two or three neighbors. Do you know your neighbors? Do you really know who's next door across the street? Most of us would say, no, I don't know them. I know them when I see them, but I don't know anything about them. There are things that we're going to be saying, here's some things you can do on your street to bring your neighbors together. Let's do that on National Night Out. We're not talking about passing out tracts or whatever, but building a relationship with your neighbors. Then you can invite them later. I shared that one of our neighbors on our street, he didn't do this because he was a believer, but he said, we just live on a street with a block with a cul-de-sac, so it's not all the way through. But he went around and took everybody's name, all the kids, their ages, their names, everybody in the household, a phone number, and an emergency number for someone, a work number, and he put all of that on a diagram so you can see where whose house. He diagrammed the whole street, and he passed that out to every neighbor. And when my neighbor's pipe busted next door to me and I saw water running out of his house during Christmas and he wasn't home, I had a contact number that I could call him, and he called one of his relatives to come over and turn off the water. But if I hadn't had that, I don't know who he is or how to contact him. And we've used that. They've called me. Your burglar alarm is going off at your house. And I went over there and checked it, but I want you to know. So, but that was just a simple thing that we keep it handy. And he would update that every year. Any changes in your house? Are your children still here? What are their ages? So we know who's on the street in that block. He didn't do that as a believer, but I thought that was great, and I would always encourage him, keep it up. That way we know. And when we had a new neighbor, he'd change it and say, here's the new neighbor, here's their name, this is how many kids in their home, and this is their contact information. So as believers, we got to be innovative. The Bible said, he who wins souls are wise. So here we are, and I told you what happened to me. Here I am, the pastor, not talking to my neighbor across the street. And he ended up getting arrested and committing suicide. And here I am, the pastor, never went over to his home, never stepped across the street to get in his yard when I saw him there and say anything, because I'm so busy getting ready to go to church. And here he is on the news, and he's right in front of me, and I ain't never said nothing to him about the Lord at all. And I'm the pastor. That was very convicting. My neighbor, how you doing? God bless you. And I'm gone, so I can come over here, hurry up on Wednesday night, because y'all are so excited to hear me that I don't have time for them. I just pass by them on the street. When I do stop, hey, Pastor, I haven't seen you in months. Well, I've been, I leave early in the morning, I come back late at night, I'm at that church. So I said, I'm going to start doing a prayer walk on my block. I get out in the morning and walk, Father, bless this house, bless that house, bless this house. Stop and talk to the neighbors. If there was one thing I could pray with you today, what could that be? So this is my block. What's happening on your block? Well, I got quiet on that one. I should have been talking about fasting. So there are things that we can do right where we are in our own neighborhood. Amen. No need going deep sea fishing if you can't catch fish on your street. With people that can recognize you and know you. We ought to be the ones they call whenever somebody gets sick. Would you pray for us? I know you can pray. Not cause you're just walking down the street keeping up a lot of noise either, okay? Decide also that it's a priority for you to seek those who are lost wherever you can. You know, we've been talking about that all month. Certainly, I hope that we have gotten to the place where we were. It's not something we do. It becomes who we are. It's not a project. It's a process of us thinking about it, making ourselves available to God every day. Come on, stand on your feet with me. I thank God for this church, and I thank God for the testimonies that we hear shared. I thank God for using us in every place, in every way, to make a difference. Each of us are agents. You don't have to have a supernatural anointing to just tell somebody Jesus saves. You don't have to have your college degree. You don't have to know all about eschatology and soteriology and angelology and bibliology. All you need to know is that Jesus changed my life. I don't know what you're going through, but I can tell you what. He can change your life. He can help your life. He can give you a brand new start. I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ if you don't know him. That's all he wants us to do. Just to be available, to share, to invite people to come to know him.
Thank you for joining us once again. And this is Jerry G. Martin. We certainly hope that this message has been enriching for your life. If you would like to hear it again, you can do so by going to our podcast. You can get this message and other messages that you've heard on this broadcast by going to The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. Again, that's The Light of the World Daily with Jerry G. Martin. And let me just share with you how you can connect with us on other platforms. If you have Facebook, you can like us at facebook.com/TheLow, L-O-W, Humble. There you can be informed and engage with us on Facebook. Or you can follow us on Instagram at TheLowHumble, T-H-E-L-O-W, Humble, H-U-M-B-L-E. We certainly would like to engage with you on all of those platforms. And then we'd love to engage with you in person. Meet us on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., 16161 Old Humble Road. If you're in Atascocita, Kingwood, Summerwood, Fall Creek, we're in your neighborhood, so we'd love to have you come by. If you're not connected with the church, I encourage you to come to the Light of the World. It's a place where you can believe and a place where you can belong. We know that you're going to hear a message that's going to be a blessing and a benefit to you and will help you in your life. And you will see what God is doing through his divine power at the Light of the World. For those of you who are looking for a Christian bookstore, the Beacon Bookstore is open right here on our campus. We have Sunday school books, Bibles, study supplies, discipleship supplies, envelopes, and communion supplies. We're open Monday through Friday from 10 to 4 p.m. Call us at 281-441-2885. Again, 281-441-2885. Now may the Lord our God richly bless you, and we'll be with you again next time.